Hello and welcome to VHTV, your guide to the talent, culture, and finance side of the space startup ecosystem. My name is Matt Jurtson from Better Everyday Studios. I'm joined today by Brian Majeure of Ad Astra Talent Advisors. How's it going, Brian?
Glad to be here. Thanks.
Awesome. And we are also joined with Justice Killian of Space Capital. Hey, Justice.
Hey.
I'm excited to chat with you both today because we're talking culture again, but we're talking about culture of kind of like when you need to start worrying about it. And, you know, a bit of background of what I've seen with this is I think training, HR issues, culture in general, it's often one of those things that can go a really long time before you see kind of really specific problems cropping up. It can be, it's something that's easy to let it simmer below the surface. And it's not until 6, 12, 18 months later where there's like really big problems with the company and it's almost too hard to solve. So especially for you two that are working a lot with really early stage, you know, seed stage, there's a dozen people kind of organizations. When does a company need to start worrying about setting their culture? What have you seen?
So when I get involved with companies, it's often, you know, a founder talking about a vision, bringing on a couple people to execute their mission. And I would say there's a high degree of focus on product. There's a high degree of focus on engineering. Very seldom do I hear founders talk about how we're intentionally shaping and designing and creating culture and how that translates into recruiting great people. That is often an afterthought. And, you know, what I would like to sort of challenge is that culture is being created and shaped from the inception of an organization. It lived with the founders, it breathes, it is a personification of those founders, right? And who you chose to bring on in the early days. And so, if the founders are not actively defining it, actively shaping it, and being very intentional and conscious of it, it is still being shaped. It's being mirrored by what you do in your day-to-day, you know, practices, how you spend your time, whether you choose to take breaks on holiday, whether you disconnect, it is actively being shaped. And so if you don't sort of get ahead of it, it will be defined, and it could likely then be defined on those first hires that you bring into the company. And, you know, that can create a real challenge if you go back and try to then correct for that. It could mean that you hired people into the organization that weren't the right fit, that set up, you know, a culture that was going down the wrong direction. And honestly, it can, you know, set a company back or even potentially cripple it. And so, I mean, that would be my first thought right out of the gate.
Brian, it sounded like you, when we were talking kind of before episode, that you've seen similar things with this. You mirrored this idea of it's being shaped whether you want it to or not. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's piggybacking right on what Justice is saying. Like, your culture is going to reflect your founders and your founding team. And so you can't start thinking about this too early because it's happening whether you like it or not. So yeah, I think that's a wrap of the episode. Like, you're already done. Like, I don't know what else there is to say.
By the way, day one.
Like, what? Yeah. And so I think that there's really severe consequences to not thinking about this. You know, I see it on the hiring side all the time when we're partnering with founders and early stage startups and helping them grow their engineers, their department heads, whoever it may be. And if you are hiring people that have a clash of culture, you're not going to be productive in the work you do. People aren't going to be happy. And then you might start to have, you'll likely have other issues prop up. People might start leaving. Your reputation might not be as strong as it could be. Could start to cause some serious issues with other like hiring more people. Curious what Justice thinks about, like, how this could impact like fundraising. If you start to hear about a culture clash within the company, are you going to want to do that follow-on investment? So yeah, I think there's real concerns here very early on.
Yeah. So the culture, I think, is a result not only of the people, but of like the purpose or the vision of the company. And often that resides with the founder, and it's the origin story. It's like, why are we taking on, this big, like, in the best case, what a startup company should be doing is taking on the impossible. And it's blood, sweat, and tears for the next decade or 2 decades of your life to try to solve something that nobody believes you can actually solve, right? And you have to convince people that it's possible to be able to do that. And so, I mean, that is the DNA of your culture, right? And it is a story that you tell investors. It's a story that you tell incredible talent that you're recruiting. If you're disconnected from that reality, it is going to be much harder to do everything that you do, right? If you're not reflective, aware, defining that vision, it's going to be really tough. And so, one, you're going to hire people that you're sort of misaligned with. Two, you might, bring on investors that don't have the same long-term vision, and they may want to sell early or may not be up for, building a company that, allows humanity to be multiplanetary. That's a big vision. You're going to require some very specific people to get behind that to build something that's almost impossible. So, I think SpaceX did an interesting job. Elon was pretty clear from early on what he wanted to do. I think to accomplish that, sort of translating that big vision and moving into first principles, like moving into the recruiting side of the early days at SpaceX, they weren't only recruiting from the aerospace industry, right? There was an intentionality of bringing in diverse, experienced engineers that had demonstrated excellence in their respective fields, and giving them an environment to sort of bring that first principle mindset into new problems and rethink the way that, space was being done. And I think it's yielded incredibly clear, outcomes today. And I think they were very thoughtful in translating that process into their recruiting. I'm not sure what you guys have seen, bringing other great talent into organizations. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think this is also a really good point to highlight that there a good time to highlight that there is not a right culture or a wrong culture. Like, I mean, there can be very
100%,
ineffective
100%.
cultures for sure and very effective cultures, but there isn't a right or a wrong. And like, I've talked to countless people who've asked me about my experience as an engineer at SpaceX, and the variety of what people think is really interesting. And I get a lot of like, oh, it's a crazy culture that people are really burnt out. They like work you into the ground and all these like really negative opinions on the culture. And like, I hear why they're saying that or why they're thinking about that. But we've even heard people go so far as to say like, that is wrong. That shouldn't be done. It's all bad. And again, not that there aren't some things that SpaceX hasn't done perfectly, but like the reality is different people thrive in different environments and different cultures. And so you want to know what your culture is, be clear about it. This is now starting to sound a little repetitive to our last conversation, but like there isn't a right and a wrong, and you just want to be very clear about that.
I would even potentially I think you can even push it farther. There was, I forget his name and I forget the book, but I need to look this up sometime because I use this example all the time, where there's this software engineer who's super nerdy, and he actually wrote a book about dating because he had done a bunch of like data work of like how to find the best partner and stuff, and then he turned that into a book. And one of the things that he found that is most effective, because he did stuff on dating sites and he would like change his hair color and do different things to find what worked, and that's how he generated his data. And one of the takeaways that he always pushes is you need to like not just be clear about who you are, but like emphasize who you are. If you're a nerd, then on a dating site, be a super nerd, right? Like make it super clear who you are, because then if there's any inkling of people not liking that, they get filtered out, and that's good. And I think, from a culture perspective, from a talent perspective, it's the same thing. Like, you as a company, lean into who you want to be, make it incredibly clear who you want to be. I mean, we use Elon examples a lot, because like clearly with X, when he took over, like the clash that happened when Twitter became X, or when Twitter was first purchased, was because it was just this overnight switch from one culture to the other. So there were a bunch of people that were hired into one culture and they found themselves in another culture. But most of that tumult has kind of died down as the people who stayed or the people who were hired were in an organization where it was clearly stated, like, look, you're just going to work a lot. Like, you're going to be here all the time. You're going to, and that attracted people. And we can say exactly to your point, Brian, like you can say right, wrong, indifferent. It doesn't matter. Like every company's culture, as long as you're not breaking laws, as long as you're not like really harming people, like companies can define their own culture. And I think you are rewarded for leaning into what you want your culture to be.
Yeah, being very clear allows people to opt in to what they want, right? And it filters out, the noise. I mean, as investors, we do the same thing. We're very intentional. We articulate, we publish a lot of research. We let people see how we think, and we have sort of a strong identity. And for some founders, that may not be the right fit. And for others, it really is. And when you find that match, it's a good fit, right? It allows for a longer term relationship. And as an investor, that's what we're talking about is a decade or more. So I think that's really important.
I love this is why I love these conversations that we get these different angles because you two are really pushing me in a different direction than I think I would have initially answered this question. When people ask me the question of when do we need to start dealing with culture, I actually historically I have said something like, once whoever the founding team is, whether that's a couple people or a group of people, once the founding team aren't the only people hiring. So once there are like maybe people that the founders hired, now they're hiring, that's when you need to start deliberately shaping culture. Because I kind of had this assumption that those founders would kind of have an intuitive understanding of what their culture was and that they would naturally just like build that into some of their hiring. But it sounds like from you all, that's not necessarily the case in that sometimes, even at those very early stages, like it's because it's just not front of mind enough, and mistakes can be made even in those initial hires.
First 10 hires define the culture. So,
Interesting.
I tell founders, if it's two co-founders, they shouldn't immediately go out and hire the people that they went to school with, that they worked with, that they
Well,
know, because it is replicating, themselves, and you're not sort of, you're sort of broadening the culture and the definition of what you're just sort of reinforcing. Your own strengths and capabilities and the way you see the world. And so I think it literally starts with those first hires. I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
And even at the founding level, I mean, we're partnering right now as advisors and doing a search for a co-founder and CTO to non-technical, non-space founders trying to get into the space industry. And it's a really exciting opportunity for the right person. And culture is at like just up there equally with technical fit because they're gonna make so many important decisions together. Like it's gonna be crazy, right? And so they already had a founder survey that was very intensive to go through and like highlight all the different ways that you might navigate different scenarios. And the survey helps to bring to light any potential conflicts that might arise. So you can have the opportunity to talk about those, explore those, simulate those before it's too late, and so you know what you're getting into. And I think that's really, really important. And then shifting gears just a little bit here, like yeah, these early stages, it defines your culture. And I think what's really important too is as time progresses, like having low turnover is really, really valuable to your company, especially in the first, like we'll say 2 to 4 or 5 years of the tenure of an employee at the company. These people can bring in more people, they can be positive ambassadors to your company, and they're going to be more productive if they fit the culture, they're happy at work, and all these things. And so I think that's like a really, really key piece. You want people to feel like they're a part of a culture that is compelling. They're excited to wake up in the morning and step in the office. They're a part of something that is bigger than themselves. And that's what's going to have people be happier and more productive, more than a raise or whatever the other things might be, which also matter, but I do think matter less with the candidates that we're speaking to on a day-to-day basis. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a highly mission-driven group of people, and culture goes like hand in hand with that.
Do either of you have any good, I mean, it sounds like you might, Brian, of like, you've seen serve people are having these surveys. What are a couple questions that a founder or a top level person can ask to help flesh out what they want out of their culture? Do you have anything that might be like one or two good questions that people could at least start to pose if they've never gone down this rabbit of even thinking about what their culture is?
I mean, I think the first one has to start with the motivation to solve this problem. Like, why would you step away and why would you give up so much other opportunity, whether it be personal time, professional development, financial incentives in other organizations to solve this problem, right? It's a huge sacrifice. And most founders don't succeed in their journey. So, the probabilities are against you. So why this? And it has to be bigger than the person. It is in almost all times. And that aligns and attracts, I think, with other really great people. They're motivated by that. But I don't know.
I think that's great. I think the other two big areas that pop up for me are how do you navigate conflict? There's very different ways that you can do that, and you don't want someone who likes to get into a shouting match. And that's not, again, not necessarily bad. We've seen that. Like, there are cultures where like the founders get in a room and they yell at each other and they figure it out and they walk out happy with the solution, right? And that's not bad, but that also might not work for everybody, and you need to like be clear about how you navigate conflict and disagreement. I think another one is also ownership, right? There's definitely this piece or responsibility and ownership. Like, there's a lot of blurred lines, a lot of wearing a lot of different hats. The stuff's all good and normal, but do you really want to make these decisions by yourself or your domain? Or how do you feel if your CEO's kind of involved in that? And are you talking about these things clearly? I think knowing those lines and about how decisions actually get made is also very valuable.
I love it. I think those are awesome. I mean, I think if I had to summarize this whole conversation, I would start by saying, if you don't define your culture, someone will define it for you, right? Like, it's never too early to think about it. It is being defined, whether you want it to or not. So you need to start thinking about it as early as possible. And then, kind of to those last points, we started with the what is always talked about. The what we're trying to do, what we're going to achieve. What the market value is, market position is, that's always defined. Great. It's about the why, the who, and the how. Like, answering those questions are kind of the key part of what the culture is that feed into making that what happen. Awesome. This is really great. This is perfect. Thank you so much. Like I said, you both challenged some of my assumptions and had me drag my answer to this even earlier in a life cycle. So this was great, and I can't wait for the next conversation. Thank you so much.